Grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Colin, am I on? Yes, I am. Sorry, it's the hearing. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to get off to the best possible start because being the Lord's Day, it's a special day, but also for many people in the congregation who will be ordained to the eldership, admitted to the Kirk session, and of course their families rejoicing in that occasion. And we extend a very warm welcome to any who are amongst us, who are visitors, and hope that you'll very soon feel at home amongst us. And if you can gather in the large hall afterwards, tea and coffee will be served there. I think I would like us all to remember that today also, our probationer minister, Lindsay Brennan, is preaching soul nominee at Dundonald Parish Church. She's sorry she can't be with us today, but the future beckons, and I'm sure that our prayers will be with her at this time. But let's now worship God together as we sing, "Ye that know the Lord is gracious." Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we stand with the ancient people of faith who knew great upheaval in their nation, who knew disturbance in their personal lives, who sometimes overwhelmed by the darkness in the world and the darkness within had cause to question their faith. We stand with him today because in the midst of all their struggles, they proclaimed that they were waiting for the Lord, waiting for the Lord to touch them in the depths of their being, waiting for the Lord to unfold the goodness and the love of his purpose as he headed towards the new creation. And we pray today that you would encourage us in the power of your Holy Spirit to see that vision anew of an old and weary earth giving way to the new creation when Jesus returns to this earth to set up his kingdom in its completion. We pray that we would be touched again with that hope, so that despite our personal failings, despite the imperfection of the church, despite the challenges that we face as a people, still we will place our trust in that promise that Jesus is building his church, an unstoppable surge towards that day when his voice will be heard. "Behold, I am making all things new." We offer this prayer in his name and ask that you would stay with us now as together we say the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, it's good to see the boys and girls, as always, and I hope that you do have great fun in the Sunday Club today, and that you'll learn more about Jesus. Tell me this, do you do any painting and drawing in the Sunday Club? Does that ever happen? There's not even a head nodding here this morning. What's wrong? Hands up if you have ever done painting and drawing in the set. Right, okay, hands down. Hands up if you enjoy it. Right, some people who haven't done drawing and painting still enjoy it. That's good. That is really good. Well, you know, I have always wanted to be able to draw and paint, but I'm not very good at it. You know, and I love to go to to galleries. Anybody ever been to an art gallery to see all the pictures? Hands up. Yes. And I like to go to galleries. And I was at one on Friday. I was looking at art pictures that were painted by people from Africa. And it was wonderful. And, you know, I sometimes come back from these exhibitions and I maybe say to somebody, do you know, I'd really love to be able to do something like that. Now, you should be careful who you say things like that to. This is the thing. And, you know, a good friend of ours arrived in the house one day, and guess what she brought with her? She brought paintbrushes. And she brought paints. Here they are, here in this wee box. She brought paints. See them? And she brought special paper. And postcards as well. And all this was laid in front of me, and guess what I said? What am I supposed to be doing with this? Eh? But she wanted me to start painting. And, you know, I just don't know about it. Because, as I say, I've never been that good about it, about drawing and painting. And I've got the equipment now, and I think I've got an idea that I want to give it a bash, but there's something in me that's saying I don't have the gift like these people that can create these wonderful canvases, these wonderful works of art, because there are people that have that gift, and there are people that have other gifts in life, maybe that artists don't have. Still, there are people that are good at something. But what I'm always very encouraged about is the fact that there is a gift that everyone can be given. There's a gift that everyone can be given, because Jesus said that all of his followers, all of those who love him, will receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit comes into our lives and he helps us to understand what we read in the Bible, and he helps us to put all those things into practice so that we can become like him. Now, that's the gift that each and every one of us has, the gift of the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus. And I know a song written by a lady that I've learned about for a long, long time. And she wrote a song, and it was entitled, Make Me a Portrait of Jesus. Make Me a Portrait of Jesus. I'm always someone who is absolutely unique. No one has ever seen any of you before in the history of the world. But we can all be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit in our lives can make us a portrait of him. And that's what I'm praying for you this morning. And I'm praying for each and every one of us as we're gathered here this morning, that we in our lives will show people what Jesus is like. Let's pray that God will make us a portrait of him. And we're going to sing together now a hymn that we've just learned recently, but I thought it would be good to sing it today. I am the church, you are the church. Let's sing it together now. Let's read together in God's Word. First of all, in the Scriptures of the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse 1, reading to the end of verse 19. And this is page 185 in the Pew Bible. 185. The book of Deuteronomy contains the sermons that were delivered by Moses to the people of Israel before they entered the land that God had promised. So we read from verse 1 of chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in God's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. Thanks be to God. And again in Mark chapter 8, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 8 at verse 34, which is page 1012 in the Pew Bible. Mark 8:34, we focus on the words of Jesus. We are told that Jesus called a crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to embrace his truth and to apply it to our lives. Let's sing together now, "Spirit of God, come dwell within me." Now let us pray. We remember in this moment that the risen Lord drew near to his followers to enable them to understand more of the truth as it is revealed in the Old Testament concerning himself. And we pray that the Spirit of Jesus would be with us today to help us to understand, to have a clearer vision of where we are called and what we are called to do and in everything that we seek. May it always be for the glory of his name. Amen. Well, folks, it was a privilege for me just the other day there to attend Abbotsford Nursing Home that's just recently been opened up in Craigton Road there to take a service. And I wandered up with my famous man bag slung over my shoulder. And when I opened it up, discovered to my horror that I'd forgotten my Bible. Now imagine Bradley Wiggins without his bike. Imagine Hank Marvin without his guitar. That's one for the teenagers, by the way. Imagine Ally McCoist forgetting his boots. Well, that's just the way that I felt in that moment. And perhaps it's because of my increasing forgetfulness that the preaching in the last month or so has been very much concerned with memory. The theme of remembrance has been very much to the fore. We heard the voice of the psalmist who assured us that God remembers that we are dust. We heard the voice of Moses as he was preaching to his people before they entered the promised land and encouraged them always to remember that they were slaves in Egypt. And we heard the voice of Jesus, who was encouraging his followers once they had committed themselves to the life of service, to keep going forward. And he said, remember Lot's wife, who turned around, and what happened to her. And today we're back with the voice of Moses, again from one of those sermons that he preached to his people before they entered the promised land. And Moses says to all those who are gathered before him, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Moses is anticipating a day after the people have become settled in the promised land, when they will be enjoying everything that has ever met their material needs, when they have enough food to eat, when they have shelter, when they have everything that they craved for when they were wandering through the desert for 40 years. And he thinks perhaps that the people might become complacent in all these things and forget God and how good he has been to them. And Moses says, be careful not to forget the Lord your God in whatever circumstances you find yourself. And really there is no excuse for them to forget their God, because Moses has provided them with a resource. He has provided them with a written reminder of who God is and what he has done for his people. And this is engrossed in what Moses called the law of God. Those laws that were given to him directly from God on Mount Sinai. And the core of this law was what we call the Ten Commandments, which remind us of who God is, of what he has done for his people, and that we as a people are committed to building a society with his eternal values at the very heart. Moses tells his people that those commandments should always be at the center of their lives. He says, teach these commandments to your children. He says, talk about them when you're walking along the road or when you're sitting at home. They should be your last thought when you lie down to sleep at night, and they should be your first thought when you get up in the morning. These commandments should be impressed upon your minds, upon your hearts. And if this ever becomes a reality, then God's vision for his people will have been fulfilled. And that vision has a people who love their God. Quite simply, a people who love their God. Moses said to the people of Israel as they're gathered before the promised land, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love him. You know, whenever a Hebrew was asked, who is this God that you worship? He would say, well, he's the God who delivered us out of slavery in Egypt. He's the God who bore us out on eagle's wings, just like a mother eagle would protectively carry her children. This is a God who loves his people. A God who has shown his love for his people and who longs for that love to be returned to him. You know, one of my favorite films is a kind of a dark affair, I have to say. It came out in the early 1980s. It's called True Confessions, in which we have Robert De Niro playing a very ambitious young priest who's tipped for the top. Everybody sees him as someone who one day will be a bishop, an archbishop, maybe something even higher than that. But things start to go wrong in his life. Things start to go wrong in his ministry. And at the end, he's a quite pathetic character. And in a poignant moment, he says to his brother, you know, I was never much gifted at loving God. But I was told it didn't matter as long as I made myself useful. I was never much gifted at loving God. But I was told it didn't matter as long as I made myself useful. Sad moment. Because friends, it does matter. It matters because it matters to God. He calls on his people to love him. And he showed his people how they could love him. They could go to that written word, which was forever established to remind them of the story. To remind them of the story of how in their worst of times, God, out of his love, reached down, raised them up, and took them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And friends, that is where we as a people are pointed today if we are interested in loving God. Then we have to go to what has been set down for us. The truth that from all times has firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. The truth about our God. The truth about the nature of our God and the truth as to his great purpose for the world. We have the written account of God which climaxes in that moment when he becomes a human personality and lives amongst us. And dies for us and rises again to give us the hope of eternal life. You know, there was a hymn that I used to sing in Sunday school, which says, I love to hear the story which angel voices tell, how once the King of Glory came down on earth to dwell. I am both weak and sinful, but this I surely know, the Lord came down to save me because he loved me so. This is the God we worship today. The God who loves each and every one of us gathered here this morning. The God who believed that each one here this morning is worth the death of his son. And as you focus upon that love, friends, and please go to that written word. As you focus on that love, find yourself returning his love. God sees a people who love him. He also sees a people who obey him. You know, it's made quite clear, and it'll be clear to me if I can get my glasses off the floor. He says, be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. This of supreme importance as his people move in to the promised land, that they obey their God. You know, when Jesus was talking about this law that God had given to Moses, he summed it up in this way. He said, this law is given so that you might be a people who love God and also love your neighbor. A people who love God and love the people that he loves. And it's always placed alongside our love for God, that as a consequence of that, we will love those that he loves. And in doing so, that we will build a society which has his eternal values at its heart. That is what those 10 commandments are all about. And they're never out of date. You know, I've heard folk within the church saying, oh, you know, we've got to move with the times. We're living in the 21st century. The things that were wrong in the past, we can now change those things. They can become right. But you know, those values that are contained in God's law, they're never out of date. They don't have a sell-by date. Jesus himself never set them aside. He set aside the ceremonial law and the hygiene laws. Yes, they were set aside by his command. But remember what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I've come to show people what a life is like when it is lived in harmony with God's will. And he himself said the night before he was nailed to the cross, he said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Not the commands of politicians or social scientists or any other pundit that you might read, hear or see. If you love me, you will follow my commands. In other words, he's telling us to live his life. You know, I mentioned to the children this morning that song, Make Me a Portrait of Jesus. It was written by Joni Erickson. And you've heard a lot about her through the years, but you know, I'm convinced she's one of the most vital Christian witnesses in the 20th century and in the 21st. This woman who's been a quadriplegic from the age of 14 after an accident. She has also had the challenge of going through treatment for breast cancer, you know, as if she didn't have enough. And still her priority in life is to show the Lord Jesus in the way she thinks, in the way she speaks, in the way she acts. Make me a portrait of Jesus, she sings. Paint his love over my sins. Someone who seeks to obey her Lord. But Moses is also clear that while love for God and obedience to God are things for the moment, he's looking far ahead to that time when they will take possession of the land he has promised. They will be a people who hope in their God. A people who have hope in their God. Verse 18. Moses says, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the take over the good land that the Lord has promised on oath to your forefathers. You are a people of hope on the verge of realizing the promise that God has given to you from ages past. That you will have a land to be a people. And friends, you know, that's where we are in many ways. You know, we are a people on the verge. We are a people who are living with a future hope that God has given to us, as He has given this hope to every generation of His people. A hope that at a time that He holds in His mind, this old and weary earth will give way to a new creation. You know, I was listening to the radio just yesterday, and there was a man called Frank Luntz who was being interviewed. Now, I'd never heard of him, but apparently he's a big name in the United States. He's a pollster, a political analyst. He is a pundit whose opinions are sought on various TV programs and radio programs. And he was being interviewed about the state of America today, and talking about the toxic atmosphere that exists in his own land at this time. And he came out with this startling statistic, because he addresses focus groups and gathers information from focus groups. He said, today, more than one quarter of Americans acknowledge personally terminating a friendship or cutting off a member of their family since the 2016 election. That means more than one in four readers of my column have excommunicated, or even more likely been excommunicated, by someone who was once important in their lives. Not just because people disagree, but because people who once loved one another can't stand to listen to each other anymore. And the interviewer said to him, what hope do you have for America? And he butted in vehemently and said, I have no hope. By the way, I don't think we can sit back complacently and say, oh well, daft Americans. We are all a bit daft that way. And it increases the sense of despair within the church and within society. So I look to Jesus and I hear Him saying that we can anticipate the renewal of all things. That this old and weary earth will give way to a new creation. That God has this in His plan, that all things will be made new. I was reading a Cistercian monk just the other day there who said something that's been sticking in my mind for days. He said, from being a garden of peace and sweet encounter, the world has become a laboratory of selfishness, violence and warfare. But he goes on to say that it is God's purpose that we should all be returned to the garden of peace and sweet encounter. That is His aim. That is where we're going. And we need to hold that in our hearts, as the ancient people of faith held it in their hearts. How often do you hear in the Psalms the phrase, wait for the Lord? The prophets roared out that we should wait for the Lord. The psalmist says, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We can hope because the hope comes from God. And that doesn't mean for us that we just sit passively. It doesn't mean that we just plan to keep things ticking over. It doesn't mean that we're just in the business of holding things together, hoping that something might just happen in our midst as a people. Friends, the kingdom is coming. And we're called, as God's people today, to live as those who are already part of that kingdom. In that we love our God. In that we are obedient to our God. And that the hope we have in our God will never die. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to realize all that you hope for in us. That we will be a people who cherish your truth. And from that truth, learn to love you more. And to be more committed to your ways as they are revealed to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, our worship will continue with the offering. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we rejoice in everything that you have given to us as a people. And we pray that in all that we have received, materially and spiritually, that this would be the springboard for our service. Knowing that you're a God who provides so much, we pray that we would learn to serve according to the abundance of your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, before we sing our hymn, I'm asked to intimate that the Men's Association, in their coffee morning yesterday, realised the amount of £758.50, which will be donated to Crossreach, which is the social work arm of the Church of Scotland. And your thanks for all those who supported the event is extended also. Let's now sing together, "For Me to Live is Christ, with Him New Life Begins." Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are assured by the scriptures that those who trust in the Lord Jesus are given gifts which build up his church and enable him to continue his ministry in the world today. Those who are called to the office of the eldership have the particular responsibility of caring for God's people and exercising oversight and leadership. Today, our session is met to ordain Elaine Adair, Christine Forsyth, Anne MacLeod, Jill Wallace, Eleanor Easton, Kate Edwards, Janice McLean, Mary McCready, Sue Rawlings, Neil Rankin, Sandra Angus, Nimi Whitelaw, to the office of the eldership, and to admit them together with Donald Skinner and Alec McEwen as elders in this congregation. Due notice has been given, no objection has been made, and we therefore proceed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high, has given gifts for the building up of the body of Christ, we are met here to ordain Elaine Adair, Christine Forsyth, Anne MacLeod, Jill Wallace, Eleanor Easton, Kate Edwards, Janice McLean, Mary McCready, Sue Rawlings, Neil Rankin, Sandra Angus, Nimi Whitelaw, to the office of the eldership, and to admit Donald Skinner and Alec McEwen into that office in this congregation. In this act of ordination and admission, the Church of Scotland as part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, He freely offers to all men and women upon repentance of faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labor in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognizing liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. Can I ask the elders elect please to stand? In view of this declaration, you are now required to answer this question. Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith? Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church, to uphold its doctrine, worship, government and discipline, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? The Lord bless you and enable you to keep these promises. Can I ask you now to sign the formula? The formula that the elders elect will be signing, friends, says, I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the confession of faith of this church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and promise that I will submit thereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church. Now let us pray. Loving God, you have chosen for yourself a church in which your Holy Spirit inspires men and women to serve your purposes of love. We give you thanks that by your grace you have called Elaine, Christine, Anne, Jill, Eleanor, Kate, Janice, Mary, Sue, Neil, Sandra, Nimi, Donald, and Alec, to lead and care for your people as elders in your church. We commend them to you now as we ordain and admit them to the office of the eldership within the church of your dear Son. We pray that you would grant them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that their hearts might be set on fire with love for you and for those committed to their care. Make them pure in heart as those who have the mind of Christ. Give them the vision to discern your purpose for the church and the world you love. Keep them faithful to the end in all their service, that when the chief shepherd appears, they may receive glory, a crown that never fades. We thank you, Father, for all your goodness, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who loves the church, for the gift of your Holy Spirit who empowers the church, for the gift of the church herself, where we are nourished by your word, strengthened by your sacraments, and encouraged by your fellowship. Keep us faithful in all the work we do, that it may always be for your glory. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and head of the church, I declare that Christine, Jill, Eleanor, Sue, Sandra, Nimi, Janice, Kate, Mary, Elaine, Donald, Anne, Neil, and Alec have been ordained to the office of the eldership. And, of course, I should have left Donald and Alec out at this point and declared that they have now been admitted to office as elders in the congregation and parish. And as a sign of the welcome that we give you in this moment, we extend the right hand of fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, a great day for me personally, folks, not just that I was able to remember all your names despite the confession of my failing memory, but that God is continuing to bless His church in raising up men and women to take office of the eldership in the church. But this is not just a day of commitment for these people as new elders. Jesus calls each one of us today to share in His ministry. And therefore, it's appropriate for us all to be thinking about our place in the life of the church and the work to which we've all been called. And I hope and pray that the whole congregation will trust in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, first and foremost, and that this moment will be an opportunity for you to dedicate your lives anew to the work of His kingdom. Please remember to encourage and support the elders by welcoming them into your homes, praying for them, and encouraging them. For we do it all for the glory of Jesus' name. Can I ask you now to go back to your seats? You'll be pleased to hear. We sing together now, friends, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend His cause." Let's sing it together. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore.